This is Young Man the Prophet podcast. I'm its host, Matthew Espenlaub, and this is going to be my 12th episode. Today I want to speak on why King David was not allowed or unable to kill King Saul. What was the real reason why? Now, on the surface level, all scripture is written in such a way that it hides the true reason why things happen. This is how God has it set up. He has it set up so that he himself is the creator and that we are his creation. And we'll never understand or see exactly why he does the things he does, because it's not for the purpose of us just seeing something. He wants us, his sons of God, to experience that he is our creator and that we are his creation. And so the written scriptures are set up for this very purpose, for us to experience him, the sons of God, and also the rest of the creation at some point too that need to be dealt with. And this extends to everything in scriptures. On the surface, the scriptures themselves, they say one thing, and we judge it according to that if we are not experiencing a deeper experience in the Lord. That's how he keeps everyone at bay. That's how he is able to receive all glory. Because when he really does come on the scene and reveal himself, then if you are just following on the surface level of things, you're not going to see him unless you have experienced a deeper understanding of who he is and what he is doing. And this can be seen in definitely the Old Testament. The prime example is when Jesus Christ came on the scene and all of Israel, especially the disciples, they were looking for a Messiah, a King David, that was going to sit on the throne in Israel and defeat their enemies in the physical realm, because they were judging everything from a carnal position. They didn't see the spiritual, the deeper understanding of the scriptures. They didn't understand that Jesus Christ had to defeat the spiritual realm. That's what he was after. The physical is going to line up. We're going to experience it. It's just that it is in its time when Jesus Christ, according to the will of God, does fulfill this. But the initial thing when Jesus Christ came on the scene was he was displaying this kingdom that he had to conquer, not this physical kingdom. This physical kingdom is the last bottom of the barrel thing. It is where everything is played out at. You can see it. But truly, behind the scene is where it's really at. This is what the kingdom's all about. It's taking over this spiritual kingdom, which Satan and his angels rule and reign for the time being. And though they do rule and reign, they truly don't. They don't really have any power in and of themselves to do anything. God controls them. You know, this is also something that is very hard to chew on and digest, because how is it that God would do something so evil and stuff? Well, I mean, the Old Testament is filled with these scriptures. We just overlook these scriptures and pretend that they don't exist, especially where it says, you know, that example would be King Saul, that God sent a evil spirit to cause him to experience discomfort. You know, this is time and time again, and it's all through the Old Testament. We come on the scene today, this modern Christianity, and we want to say, well, Jesus Christ is the God of the Old Testament revealed. Well, if he is, then what's the deal? Explain these scriptures in the Old Testament. Why that God was causing these things to happen. It never says that Satan comes forward and does something and God battles him in it. It says that God does these things, period. He uses all tools at his disposal to bring forth his kingdom. You know, so the Old Testament itself is not based upon the salvation of the Lord being fulfilled at that moment. In other words, Jesus Christ had to die, experience the death, the separation. He had to produce a work that he experienced his powerlessness. And in that experiencing, he was able to, upon the command of the Father, resurrect himself out of that. He experienced that it was the Father who had all power. He might have known this in his earthly walk, but it wasn't until he was separated from God in the center of the earth that he truly experienced his powerlessness. That was when he had to wait 3 days, and then the command came in his spirit to raise himself back up, along with the Old Testament saints. He experienced this. He's the only one that has ever experienced this in the full extent of the salvation of Almighty God. The angels never experienced this. Not until Jesus Christ rose from the dead and sat down on the throne, and then he gave this experience unto all the angels. The point of me saying this is the Old Testament, it is all physical types. It's showing us the physical side so that the carnal man, the sinner, who is separated from God from birth, is able to view who God is from a carnal perspective, according to his five senses. So if you see the battles and everything that's going on, it's all showing us a spiritual side that we, the sons of God in this hour, must experience in our hearts. This is what it is showing to us. You know, so if you have Israel here on the scene and it is surrounded by these wicked nations, which is the Gentiles, how does this represent us in this hour? Well, Israel's the sons of God. The Gentiles, you know, first off would be our flesh. And then after we experience the salvation of the Lord more and more, then it extends out to the sinners around us. Getting back to why I want to talk about King David and King Saul is, King Saul is the first. He is us, the sons of God, being born into this natural realm. This is our first birth. That's who King Saul is. He represents us in our flesh. He represents the achievements of natural mankind in all his glory, which does not compare anything to the glory that shall be. You know, and then you have King David come on the scene. King David represents us experiencing a born-again experience. And this Son of God, King David, us, have to now deal with the fleshly side of our carnal side that we have created from our natural birth, which is King Saul. And if you see, King Saul is constantly coming against King David and battling him. Now, the sons of God are constantly dealing with their fleshly side. You know, the flesh of us is horrible. It will take us down in a heartbeat. All the stuff that we experience in our walk with the Lord, especially in this hour. You know, in the first church, they didn't experience the helplessness that we're experiencing in our hour. They were empowered to deal with their flesh, and their work was they had to deal with truly the outside, the ones from without, but their heart inside was really changed. We are in an hour where we're not experiencing this, no matter what anyone says. I know it. I can see it. I've experienced it myself that we aren't experiencing this in this hour. And it's because we don't need to in this moment, because we are coming to an end of all things where we are going to not only experience the inward part, but our bodies are going to be changed too. So we don't need to experience the same as the first church. You know, we have their witness, so we see what it is to look like. But to experience what they're experiencing, we're not going to. It's just how God has it set up. He has four different phases, which is the lion, the calf being slaughtered, the face of the man, and the flying eagle. We are in the hour of the flying eagle. The church, this church age at this moment, is in that final stage. You know, we're at the end of that. We're about to overlap and go back into the lion again. You're going to have the flying eagle and the lion both at the same time. In other words, you know, when the two witnesses do come on the scene, they are going to be showing us everything, a culmination of all things. So at this moment, we don't need to experience the release from everything, because we are about to experience the release from everything, literally. We are going to experience the full resurrection. And God does not want any man in this moment in time to have any glory in and of himself, that he has done anything, so that when he does come on the scene, truly come on the scene and witness what he has been doing for since the beginning of time, there's not one man that can stand up and say, raise his hand and say, yes, I knew this, I did this, look what I have done. No, not one. We're all in this, so that when he does come on the scene, and he's going to come on the scene, how? And in through the two witnesses. They are going to be displaying this full measure of who God is. And all mankind, including the church, the true church, the bride of Christ, the fine linen saints, they aren't going to be able to say, well, look, I did it too. I knew it. I knew this. No, because they are going to be coming against all of their carnal side too, and all the self-righteousness they still hold. And because God hasn't dealt with any of that stuff in this hour. You can see it. You can see it everywhere. There's not any that aren't displaying it, some form or fashion of the flesh of their old man. The first church didn't display this. is very adamant about it all through scriptures. So this Old Testament then is just displaying in the physical realm the salvation of the spiritual and the victories that were won or lost, and everything that was dealing with the Old Testament is the display of what we as sons of God deal with on a daily basis. You know, sometimes God lets us go down. Sometimes he lets the flesh overpower. So that's why you can see these things in the Old Testament where Saul is empowered by a wicked spirit to come against King David. Well, that's our flesh. God, at points in time within our walk, he causes these things to come to pass so that it perfects our new man. It perfects our David within us. David goes on the run at times. He isn't empowered to do things at certain times. If you look at both their lives, think about this. King Saul and King David, they're both the same. King Saul didn't do anything outrageous. If you think about it, his first thing that he did wrong was he was surrounded by the Philistines. His army was with him. He didn't know what to do. He was waiting on Samuel to come and to entreat the Lord to find out what to do. Well, Samuel was supposed to show up at a certain time, and he didn't. So what did King Saul do? Like any of us would have done. We want to seek the Lord. We need to know we're in fear. The armies are around us. So he builds an altar and sacrifices unto God. And then Samuel shows up. What does Samuel say? What have you done? You know, you could have had this kingdom forever, but now it's no longer going to be. You know, that was his first mistake. And then his second one was when he was commanded to slaughter. God commanded him to slaughter this whole nation or this whole kingdom. And that includes all the animals. Well, what happened? He let the king survive, and his troops took some of the animals, the top-notch ones. And because of that, it said that the kingdom was taken from him and was going to give to someone else because he disobeyed. That rather than sacrifices, God rather would have obedience, which not going against any of that. But my point is, you know, King Saul was a man that was like us. You know, he did a valiant thing as much as he could do in his state that he was in. And another thing is he repented. You know, it isn't like he just arrogantly came on the scene, did all this stuff. When he knew that he did wrong, he told Samuel, I repent. We tend to do this. We judge all this stuff according to the flesh. We look at it that, well, King David was better than King Saul because King David was a king after God's own heart. Well, what did King David do? He did the same exact things as Saul. He sinned. He repented. The same exact thing. Saul did the same thing. So what makes them any different? You know, if we judge it according to their works, they're both the same. So what's the deal? The deal is it has nothing to do with King Saul or King David at all. It has everything to do with what God's doing behind the scene. He is showing to us what our flesh is and what our new man is. And if you look at it, King David, when he could have killed Saul on those two occasions, what happened? He said he was smote in his heart that he couldn't do it. Well, in other words, he wasn't empowered to do it, because if he was empowered to do it, he would have killed him. And he says, well, I can't lay my hand upon, you know, the king. But here's the thing. King David was the king. Saul wasn't anymore. That kingdom was taken from him. When he was anointed with oil as a younger man, that's who the king was, period. You know, but the reason why King David couldn't do it was because God would not allow him. That's the whole point. God, if he empowered King David to do it, then he would have done it. But he didn't empower him to do it, and so he didn't do it on those two occasions. And the purpose of doing that, this is God's purpose in it, is to show that to deal with our flesh, we aren't going to do it. We don't have the power to do it. It is going to be God. He is going to put to death our flesh. Yes, he's going to do it in and through us. We must do and produce the work of putting to death our flesh. But the purpose of showing to us in King Saul and King David was to show that we aren't the one that does it, truly. It's going to be God. And this is also displayed where King David had many victories. He killed many things. He protected many of his Hebrew nation. He was empowered to do that. And that goes to show us that he still has to do a work. We have to do a work. Our work must come forward. But the core issue was King Saul and King David. And God showed to us that even though we must produce the work, it's not going to be according to our strength. It's going to be according to his strength. He is going to do it. It is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that produces this work. We can't do it. I don't care how hard you try, how much self-righteousness you add to yourself. You are always going to have within your heart thoughts to do all these different things. You're going to suppress it this way and produce a new work this way and try to deal with all this stuff that's going on. And in the end, your heart is still filled with all this junk. We can't do it. It's Romans 7. And God proves it. He causes our flesh to rise up to show to us the works that we used to do. He empowers them and exposes our weakness. And yet we try to pretend like that's not the case. But he has mercy. This is the whole point of it. He is showing to us that we can't do it ourselves, that we can't please him. We are his creation. There's nothing that we can do that is going to be pleasing unto him. Nothing. We don't exist unless he empowers us to exist. And this is what this whole walk, from the very beginning of time until this very point, until the very end of time, he is producing a body of glory that will have experienced that they are his creation and that he is their creator. And in that experience, they will give him all glory. It won't be because they have done anything. They will know that they haven't done anything. And that the only reason why they are producing these works is because he has given them this power to do that, to glorify himself. Nothing to do with us. We experience the life of it. We are a conduit. We have eternal life. And not only that, we might not experience it at this moment because we are separated from much of the family of God and of the angels and Jesus Christ himself. We are in this hour where it's filled with darkness. The angels had to go through the darkness to get to us, to speak to us. You know, we may be one with one of the angels or a few, and we may have some fellowship with some brothers and sisters here that are truly born again, but the power of experiencing this is almost nil. We don't have anything. We're helpless in this hour of time. You know, we are completely taken over by this worldly system. We are a part of it. We can't get away from it. I don't care what we try to do, because God has it set up this way. We can't do nothing but operate in this worldly system. We must be a part of it. You know, the scriptures say that we aren't. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Well, show that to us in this hour. We're not doing it at all. None of us are. You may have a few that are in the outward fringes out there in the wilderness and stuff like that, but I'm talking about in general, us, the bride of Christ. We are in the world and of the world for the most part, but we see the scriptures. We see what the word says that we are not, and so we believe that, and we wait on the Lord to empower us, and his empowering in this hour is not for us to be separated at this moment and to produce more of this church ages. He is going to redeem us completely now. That's why he hasn't done anything else for us in this hour. But when that happens, when we are redeemed completely out, when we experience the full measure of our salvation, then is when we as conduits are going to experience this oneness with all the bride of Christ. Like I said, we're individuals at this moment. We're only experiencing the power of our spirit and maybe an angel or a few. But when we become one with all of our brothers and sisters and Jesus Christ and all the angels and all the Old Testament saints, we become one with their spirit and the power that they hold. So then we are going to be filled with this full measure of power. I mean, completely can't even think about it. There's no way we can imagine it. We are subjected to just this single spirit at this moment of what makes us up. When we do experience this full measure, that is when we are going to experience who God is. You know, and this is the benefits of being born again. God controls it all, It's for His glory. We're going to give Him praise, honor, and glory for what He has done for us and giving to us our life and experiencing that He has given to us this life, that we haven't done it ourselves. That is the purpose of this, in us giving Him the thanks and glory and a worship back to Him. We're not going to do it on our own strength. That's the whole point of all this. It's for us to experience it. But once we do experience this, we are going to experience Him in our inheritance, this power, this great magnitude of who God is. And we're going to feel what He feels like at all times. I mean, immense, that God may be all in all. You know, so that is the purpose of what God is doing in creating us. And we can see this, like I said, in the Old Testament. This is our witness. This is the physical witness of it. You know, you have many scriptures that don't make sense, that we just pass over, we just take on face value. David couldn't build the temple because his hands were filled with blood. And so his son, Solomon, could build the temple. Well, explain that. Truly explain it. The same thing with Moses. Moses hit a rock. He was disobedient one time, so now he can't enter into the promised land. Well, explain that. You know, we judge everything based upon the surface value that is written, and we don't see why these things are written this way. What is the real reason behind the scene? This is what the Spirit of the Lord should be awakening in us, showing to us. This is what it's really about. These surface scriptures are the flaming sword to keep us from experiencing the eternal life. It's for all mankind to fall upon. He can't get past it. There's no way you can get past these scriptures unless a key is given to you and He opens this up, gives you a revelation of what's really happening. You know, and the revelation is the beginning, but you must experience this revelation too. You can't just say, I have the revelation. Well, Paul says you can have all knowledge and yet not experience the true change in the love of Jesus Christ. That's what it's really about. First, you're given the faith, and then this faith must produce works. Without the works, then the faith is dead. You got to have both. All right, so going back to Saul and David. You know, it's amazing to look at Saul, and so many times that an evil spirit has come upon him and that has come against David. You know, and to think about our own lives and how many times behind the scene an evil spirit, you know, I deal with the aspect of drugs. Many times I've had a wicked spirit that has come and enticed my flesh, or the works that I've already produced according to it. I have had a relationship with these spirits and producing works to glorify them. This spirit comes along and stokes the altar that I've already had built in my heart. It causes my new man to experience a discomfort, like, what's going on? And unless God empowers my new man, I'm overtaken by the flesh. Many times this has happened in my lifetime. But what He has proven to me is I'm not going to deal with this on my own. I can't do it. I can't suppress it. You suppress it, it's still there. It's always going to be there. And at some point, that spirit's going to come along and it's going to wake up, and you're going to go forward and be obedient unto that spirit. This flesh has to be dealt with, and this is what God has been doing in my life. He has been dealing with it. My spirit's doing it, the work, but it's doing it according to Him and when He wants it to happen. I'm not going to receive any glory of this. I've tried the self-righteous part. I've done that many times. I've suppressed my old man, my flesh, and I've failed miserably time and time again. God has proven it to me that I can't do it unless He does it. And so He has been doing it. Now I'm in an hour of time where these altars that have been built up in times past to worship all these things of the flesh have been torn down. It's very rare for anything to be still present in my life. I haven't done it. It's been Him. These spirits no longer come along and entice me because the works that I have produced in the past have been dealt with. They can no longer do it. You know, He controls all of these things. He shows to me that He has dealt with this stuff. My heart is being purified. The thoughts aren't there any longer to do these things. So that is the Saul part of this kingdom, this throne, the flesh. The King David part is he is being dealt with as a son to be perfected by this flesh. Without it, how would David ever rely upon God? He wouldn't have experienced these things. He wouldn't have seen that it is God that delivers him out of all this stuff. You know, and it is according to God's way of dealing with it that David had to go forward in. He had to hide out at times in caves in fear of his life, experiencing that it was God who had all power over him at that moment. That unless he hid David, Saul would have came and killed him. Same thing with our flesh. Unless the flesh is dealt with, we will not have eternal life. This is something that God's doing personally in each of us. One of my favorite verses is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Yes, sure, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have come new. Yes, that's an awesome verse. That's what it's all about. That's the culmination of everything, which no one really understands either. All old things must pass away. So up until that point, if you receiving salvation, every single thing that you have ever done in your whole entire life must be done away with, period. That is what that verse means. If you haven't experienced that yet, then you must continue to wait on the Lord. None of us have. That's the whole point of it. We will experience it at the resurrection, but it just goes to show you that everything we think we know and experience in this life up until really truly experiencing the Lord, that is not it. That doesn't even exist anymore. That means all the stuff that we have ever learned in this life is going to be done away with or experienced. Families, friends, loved ones, all that stuff, that's not what it is. That is the carnal. It's going to be dealt with. It's going to be done away with. But my verse that I'm speaking of is where it says that the true judgment is Jesus Christ died, then all are dead in him. All of us. The wicked and the righteous and all of creation has been put to death at that single moment. All of it has been destroyed. Every last bit of it. That is our true judgment. That's how we judge things. So when someone comes against us or when our flesh comes against us, then we judge that this is dead. It may overtake us, but at some point it's going to be dealt with according to the death, burial, and resurrection. It's going to happen. All of it's going to be dealt with. God has it set up how he wants it to come forward and to be dealt with, and that's according to his purpose. You know, he does have it set up this way so that the Old Testament saints at this moment, they have been resurrected. Where are they sitting? They're sitting on the 24 thrones in heaven. It is through them that Jesus Christ is administering unto us the salvation of him. We don't even talk about those things because they haven't been shown to us, but that's how it's set up. 24 elders anoint the angels. They go forward. They have experienced this anointing. But now when we are resurrected, it's going to be us that are in the midst of the throne. And through our experience, the whole bride, that is what is going to minister the salvation of the Lord. And so what is the salvation of the Lord? The death, burial, and resurrection, and what we have experienced as a whole. And so we are going to overtake this whole entire first kingdom according to that death, burial, and resurrection. It's going to line up at some point. The works are going to be dealt with. The first thing to happen is the spiritual realm needs to be dealt with. And that's what this resurrecting of the bride of the temple of the Lord, the temple is going to be open in heaven. And when that happens, then is when Satan and everything's going to be dealt with and it's going to come crashing down. It's called the wine press. What happens? The spiritual realm, the glorified bodies of the saints of God are going to be pressing Satan down into this creation and it's going to press everyone. Those who believe are going to have a bubble around them. They're going to be spared. But the ones who don't believe, they're connected with Satan. What's going to happen to them? They're going to be pressed and smushed, be ground to powder. This is the point. Not to look at them as, oh, look at these wicked individuals. This is a sacrifice God is making. It is through them that we have been perfected. So don't haughtily look at these things and be like, oh, these wicked people, why don't they just believe? Well, we wouldn't believe either. This is all God's sacrifice that he is willing to make to perfect his sons of God in this body of glory. And they're going to experience this destruction, you know, and the hopeful thing is at some point, this is all going to be dealt with. All were dead in Christ. That is the true judgment. So, all right. So this podcast has been on why King David couldn't kill King Saul, you know, and I've spoke on it, that the flesh needs to be dealt with, not according to our strength, but according to God's strength. That's why Jesus Christ came against Peter when Peter said, no, you can't go and die. And what does Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. So in other words, David had to experience Saul. He had to experience that helplessness. He couldn't put him to death when he should rightfully have put him to death. He should have took over that kingdom. That's not how God had it set up. And so David couldn't do anything other than how God has it set up. That's why he couldn't put him to death. Nothing to do with David being this righteous individual that is a goodly king. We're all the same in this. Don't judge man according to the flesh. Judge God, that he is the one who does all things. And he shows it to us in and through Jesus Christ. So that's it for this one. If you want to visit my website, it's youngmandtheprophet.com. You can always go to contact page, give me an email, which I haven't had one single email yet. This is my 12th episode and still no emails. But it doesn't matter. You know, this is what it's about. I'm here to preach the kingdom of God. I'm here to create sons of God. I don't care about the flesh. You know, the flesh is going to come against me. It doesn't want to hear these things. My flesh doesn't want to hear these things. Been battling me since 2003. And the Lord has empowered my spirit to put it to death slowly. It's getting to a point now where it's almost non-existent. But this is my purpose. You know, God is dealing with me as a son of God, and I'm going to deal with everyone as a son of God. Plain and simple. If you can't take it, then that's what the deal is, you know. But I'm here to create sons of God and find the elect. So thank you for listening, if you do listen to these. And may you get something out of it by the grace of God. May he open up your heart and show to you the truth of these things and to give you a peace knowing that he is in control of these things. You're not. Your failures are not your failures in the sense of you can't do nothing about them, man. You can't. It's something that God has us all going through. All of creation. He has everything set up perfectly to bring forth his kingdom. So the Lord Jesus Christ blessed you, and may he empower and perfect his elect.